Thanks so much for tuning in to the Moonee Ponds Baptist Church podcast. Here we upload our weekly teachings that happen every Sunday at our 10 a.m. service. If we can help you in any way, feel free to reach out to us and check out our website at mpbc.org.au.
Today's reading is taken from the book of Luke 2, verses 8 to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all of these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorified and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, this morning I want to tell you what three friends of mine actually thought they would find when they went to the house of the king. Maybe that's where we'll start. Got the first slide there, please. So here's the story, kids. Next slide. Oh, I'm doing it, aren't I? Yep. Okay, it was late at night, and all the sheep were in their beds and fast asleep, and they snuggled up when Cecil snored. Can you see Cecil? Where's he? He's right at the very top, isn't he? He was snoring very loudly. When out of heaven an angel soared. There is. He's even on a rope. "Wake up, sheep, wake up," he said. "Stop your dreaming. Get out of bed. Listen, sheep, good news I bring. In Bethlehem is born a king. He's cute, he's cuddly, he's 9 pounds 10. So what are you waiting for? Visit him then." Can you do the next slide? Doesn't seem to be working. Thanks. "Visit the king. This will be fine. Tonight in the palace, we're going to dine. We'll start with pavlova, then peacock eggs fried with fancy fresh mushrooms piled up on the side. Loaded up lobster, dunking in the dips, but bypass the salad and pig out on chips. Then finally finish with the small minty things. That's what you eat in the house of a king, isn't it? With stomachs rumbling, they leapt out of bed. They charged over the hill. And then Cecil said, visit the king." Next slide. Yep. Whoop, go back one. Yep. "Visit the king. Way to go. Royalty throw. A spectacular show. There'll be jugglers and jesters and gymnasts galore, sword swallowers, fire eaters. But wait, there's more. Trev and the bad boys blasting out tunes while deadly dirt bikes are ridden by hoons. Then fireworks shot from the boat in the moat, because that's how the king gets a popular vote, isn't it? Down the Bethlehem Road they run at a trot. Then suddenly Cecil yells out, hey, fellas, guess what? Visit the king. This will be neat. Think of the people we're going to meet. The Belgium ambassador, the Sultan of Malta, the Olympic swim team, and even a pole vaulter. We'll dance the night away with Princess Natasha. She's style, she's elegance, and an absolute smasher. With the beautiful people, we'll be mingling. That's who you meet in the house of the king. Down the Bethlehem Road, around all the bends, when Cecil called out to his friends, visit the king. This will be ace. Kings always live in a big fancy place. We'll slide down the banisters. We'll swing from the drapes. We'll splash in the bath. And we'll swim in the lakes. We'll slouch in the beanbags. And we'll skate down the hall. Sneak out the back. Then, when we've done it all, we'll sleep in four-poster beds with plenty of spring. That's where one sleeps, in the house of the king. But in Bethlehem, they wandered around. The king and his palace, nowhere to be found. Then Meredith, she's the other one of the sheep, she said, here's some suggestions. Let's go to the pub and ask for directions. The publican listened to what the sheep said, and he scratched his beard, and then he shook his head. Nah, I don't know no palace, and I don't know no king. But the Princess Natasha, oh, she's a pretty young thing. We don't do pavlova. Besides, it's too late. We've run out of schnitzel, and the chef knocked off at 8. I ain't got no room. I ain't got no bed. Heck, the last lot that rocked up, I put out in the shed. Visit the king. Oh, why'd we come all this way? Let's head out the back. Let's crash on the hay. Out in the shed was this bloke and this lady. Oh, there goes our sleep. Oh, she's holding a baby. Those things grizzle. Those things howl and cry. But then, look at him. He's cute. He's cuddly. He's 9 pounds 10. It was late at night, snuggled up with a sheep. The newborn king was fast asleep. So, kids, who do you think that king is that Cecil and his friends went to visit? Where's the microphone gone? Who do you think it was? Jesus. That's right. That's right. That's who they went to see, and they found him, but not in a palace like we would think, but out where the animals are. But it still makes him a king. So let me just finish off. Kids, you can go back to where your parents are. Let me finish off with a bit. That's right. Well, as we know, Christmas is a very special day. And it's literally celebrated by billions of people around the world. And as we know, this time of year, many of us get together with our families and we eat and we drink and we share gifts. We sing some Christmas carols. And we wish each other well, don't we, for the coming year. And many of us will readily admit that we spend too much money at this time of year and we eat too much. That's why we've got the rest of the year to work it off. But when it comes to the main reason for Christmas, the main reason for celebrating Christmas, I think sometimes we struggle to have clarity around this. And so I want to begin by asking a rhetorical question this morning. Something for you to ask yourself, what are you really celebrating this Christmas? What are you celebrating this Christmas? What are you celebrating today? And I was watching the test match the other week. I was sitting on the couch, minding my own business. And when this advertisement flashed up on the television from the station that the test match cricket is broadcast on, And it had the TV personalities from that station appear in a 40-second advert, and they started to talk about what Christmas meant to them. And let me share some of what they said. Sonia Kruger was first to appear, and she said, "Christmas is about being nice and not naughty." Kylie Gillies from The Morning Show said that Christmas is about cutting up delicious ham. And her co-host, Larry Emder, added that it's about keeping that ham. You can actually keep ham so long that you can even eat it up until March, and he was pretty happy about that. Mark the Beast Lambert from The Chase said that Christmas is not about ho, ho, ho. Rather, it's about turkey being yum, yum, yum. And the veterinarian, Dr. Harry Cooper from Better Homes and Gardens, said it's about a glass of lemonade for Santa. And Samantha Armitage from the show A Farmer Wants a Wife, she said it's about having a picnic. Where do you think she would have it? In the paddock, of course. And Edwina, Nat, Kochi and Mark from the Sunrise program said it's about pavlova, Christmas, pudding and presents. And Patrick, Emily and Sophie from Home and Away, which is where I get all my, you know, philosophical depth from, they said it's about eating prawns and Moreton Bay bugs fresh off the barbecue. Now, there is nothing wrong with any of those things. They're great things to enjoy. In Australia, we're so blessed by this time of year, just with the weather, particularly today, it's just wonderful. But that sort of advert on during the test match about Christmas left me wondering, left me thinking, are those sentiments about Christmas, which I think are widely held, are they weighty enough in significance for such a special day that's actually celebrated by billions, literally billions of people around the world? What our very own TV personalities are suggesting is that we should actually celebrate Christmas with every means possible. We should use everything available to us to celebrate, but we shouldn't attach any real meaning to it apart from pleasure, instant pleasure. And so I don't want to be the Christmas Grinch because I'm not. I love parties. I love celebrations. I'm looking forward to Christmas lunch. But let me ask you another rhetorical question. How would you feel about celebrating other significant days in the Australia in the calendar that we have, you know, public holidays, without actually connecting any meaning to them? Let me give you a few examples. Celebrating Christmas for reasons such as cutting up ham or eating prawns have been suggested as the reason for celebrating Christmas. But what about if we celebrated the AFL Grand Final on the last Saturday of September, including taking the public holiday and attending a special parade in the city, but then actually being okay that the game is actually not played? You know, that's a bit insignificant. Or it would be like having a holiday on the first Tuesday in November, getting dressed up, including wearing a fancy hat and attending a champagne breakfast in the park, but not mentioning the horses or even, being bothered that a race wasn't held. Or perhaps even the 25th of April, be like enjoying the public holiday, playing two up with your friends on the day that you're allowed to do that, I think. Then going and watching Essendon and Collingwood battle it out at the MCG, but then not thinking about soldiers or the cost of war or the sacrifice that people have made for our peace. And so I'm sure that you would agree that that none of those special days would make any sense if we actually dropped the central reason for having them, but continue to have the festivities around them. Yet when it comes to Christmas, I think that we're actually becoming quite comfortable that the central person and the meaning of Christmas is missing from our celebrations. The Bible's not suggesting that we practice a Grinch-like Christmas without any cheer. In fact, all the gospel writers who chronicle the birth of Jesus, they all talk about the joy and the excitement that people who were there, that they were filled with when they greeted that occasion. Even the angels were rejoicing, and these shepherds were rejoicing on that day. They, in fact, left their flocks unguarded and headed to Bethlehem so that they could get this glimpse of this newborn king. Luke says that the news of Jesus' birth is a message of good news that will cause great joy for all people. The Bible says that the birth of Jesus actually has huge significance and ramifications for all people. In fact, it is the turning point of all history because God, in that one act, he acts to deliver us from evil and to restore all of our broken relationships that have been shattered by sin. And we all know that we actually do suffer from broken relationships, don't we? We know that we struggle with ourselves, with our self-image, with who we are. We struggle with others and we have broken relationships with other people. We know we're living in a world today where the created order, the world that's been made, the natural order, is breaking down. And also we know ourselves that we've had a broken relationship with God in which we hide from God due to our sin and our shame. And so deliverance from evil and restoring broken relationships is not a small thing. And we know that it's not a small thing because we try and resolve those things ourselves, those issues ourselves. But we live with evil and we live in the shadow of our own brokenness day by day. And they are constant and unwelcome companions for us. And if we're honest with ourselves, they actually wear us down. But we continue to deny our inability to change our situation. So the question is, why don't we ask a simple question such as, why was there so much joy in heaven and on earth at the birth of Jesus? Why was there so much joy and excitement at that time? And so why is Jesus' birth so special that we should actually bother even to meet today? Why should we bother to celebrate this today? And I think that's a really good question to ponder. And I think we don't ponder it often is because perhaps we don't want to actually go there sometimes to find out the answer to that because it's too confronting for us. We all long for peace, but we can't achieve it. We seek joy at Christmas time, but we can't fully realize it. We can't fully realize it as we imagine it to be. And we want to have hope, but we have no real idea how to have it or how to hold on to it. And yet we continue to invest in Christmas celebrations that are really void of any significance apart from our own pleasure. Friends, the lack of hope, joy, and peace, or lasting peace in our lives, then should prompt us to ask, who is missing from Christmas? Who is missing from our Christmas celebration? And that's what we saw in our play this morning. We had all our people gathered for that photograph, but there was someone missing. And so the invitation of God to us today in our service, in the whole day, in this season, is for you to celebrate the God's provision for you in Jesus to give you joy and peace and hope at this time. The angels couldn't contain their excitement about the birth of Jesus. They were just busting to announce this good news to someone, and they just happened to come upon these shepherds out in the field, and they got the full force of it. And they were just ordinary folk like you and I. And they were sort of so overwhelmed by this joy, this wonderful thing that they knew that the birth of Jesus meant something very special. It actually means God coming closer to them. And I don't know if you've felt in your own life that God has been distant, but the birth of Jesus is God actually coming closer to you, to us, and God acting practically to deal with the brokenness in their lives and our lives and the reversal of our fortunes. The birth of Jesus is good news, friends, for all of us. It's still something worth celebrating because when you embrace Jesus as King, which is what we are being asked to do today, not just embracing Him as a good man or as an example to us, but as King, And King demands, through some of the songs we've been singing, demands that we bow our knee, demands that we give allegiance to him, demands that we actually not just make room in our heart, but actually make room in our make our lives centered around him. When you do that, you will experience God coming closer to you, close to you today and in your life. And we know this because he tells us he will fill us with his Spirit. When you embrace Jesus as your King, you will also experience the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, healing those broken relationships, healing those negative thoughts that you have about yourself, helping you to overcome those broken relationships that you have with others, to play your part in the world which is falling apart, and to have a good relationship with God where you can know security and hope and peace for your entire life. Friends, today we should definitely party. We should definitely eat and sing. We should give gifts to one another. We should even call, really, for jugglers and jesters and gymnasts galore. And if possible, we should call for sword swallowers and fire eaters and much, much more. But we should celebrate what God has done through the birth of his Son. He is Jesus the King who has come to reverse the fortunes of everyone. Friends, to experience this lasting joy, peace and hope and the healing of our broken relationships, I want to encourage you this Christmas to place Jesus at the center of your life and make him the central reason for your celebrations today. Let's pray as the band comes up. Father, we want to thank you for Jesus. That Christmas without Jesus is really not really such a big event as we sort of make it out to be, because really we can get together with friends and family at any time. But in our celebration, in our getting together, in our gift giving, in our gift buying, there is these remnants of our memory of something that you've done, something so wonderful, so grand that we have to do this thing year in, year out. Even people who have no knowledge of the good of the story of Jesus' birth, there's this remnant of an idea there that somehow this time is so special. Lord, I pray that you would help us to capture that in our minds and in our hearts. Help that to work out in our lives, that we would take the joy of the birth of Christ and the hope that it means and the peace and joy that it brings. I pray that that would go into not just this day, but into the rest of this year, and that it would shape our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, Nicole.